How many tokens can I get for a private dance? How about a peanut butter dog show?
It's girls watching girls watching girls on this episode of the Indie Film Review. I'm trying to get my voice to be more weird and do weird shit and make it sillier because the first ones I did, I think it was just too serious.
Girls watching girls watching girls.
Girls, girls, girls.
You know what? I heard they want to have fun.
All right. Are you ready?
Am I ready?
Yes.
Wait, hold on a second. Are you ready? Because I'm about to take you for a wild ride, my friend. Right down the rabbit hole of Alice in Wonderland that this film references for whatever reason.
Oh.
And then IMDb trivia finds it necessary to say there's quite a bit of allusions to Alice in Wonderland, except there's only two.
Would you be surprised I didn't catch a single one of them?
It's just the Mad Hatter and the it's her screen names. It's so fucking stupid.
Oh, I didn't connect any of that shit somehow.
Does it matter? Because I mean, are we supposed to think about her going down the rabbit hole? And okay, hey guys, this is the Indie Film Review.
Hey guys, you said it so mean, you're like, ugh.
Hey guys. Now this is the Indie Film Review, and we are going to review a film for you.
Yes.
It's going to be an indie film, of course, yes. As the titular Indie Film Review.
I'd like to say indie film, it's a little loose nowadays if you think about it, because like...
Everything's an indie film.
Yeah. But also, if you're on Netflix, are you indie? And I guess you can be, because I've seen
like Netflix is its own independent entity. And if it's produced by Netflix, and plus this is Blumhouse, and Blumhouse is always like really good independent horror films and thrillers, things like that.
So, sometimes it can be disputed, but we're doing our best over here, all right?
Yeah.
We're not going to go out and watch like a new Marvel movie. Like, we at least understand that's not independent.
And, like, we are going to make a lot of deep cuts for things that have come out recently or, we're trying to make it more user interface.
User interface.
Or user interface. We're trying to make it more user friendly. So, if you are a independent filmmaker and you like listening to podcasts and we want to have yours submitted to us so we can review it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely down for that. I'm also down for if we could get both of us to go see the same independent film in a theater and come back and do this. It's a little trickier to do because it's harder to find those out and about. But I'd love to do that in the future as well. Anyways, guys, hello and welcome again. Please be seated. Seriously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Quit the rabble-rousing. We actually have to do a podcast. This is mandatory. We're here to talk about Cam.
Cam!
Cam!
It just makes me think of, like, the shortened version of the boy's name, Cameron. Or a girl's name. That's a
Cameron
very unisex.
Diaz, dude.
Yeah, it's a very unisex name. Right there.
Oh, it makes me think of that Gem show, Gem and the Holograms. That's the song that was in my head. Anywho, we watched this movie.
Cam in the place that I work.
Why did that make me so happy? I think I want to hear that song, actually. Anyways, Dan, please explain. Give your 30-minute elevator pitch.
My 30-minute elevator pitch? All right.
30-minute? Jesus Christ. Could you actually, here's a note for you. Could you cut that down? Thanks. All right. Go ahead.
I wrote up a whole synopsis. I have
to do like a 28-minute elevator pitch.
All right. So Cam is an erotic thriller about a cam girl who tries to rise to stardom on her tipping website when she has her identity stolen by a mysterious doppelganger. Was that good? I think that was good. I think it's the best one I've ever done.
That was so fucking good. Dan, you're getting so fucking good at this.
Next week it's going to suck.
Yeah, you're gonna be like, it's a movie! So, this first section of the podcast, we're gonna give our thoughts and feelings on it, but not try to spoil the movie.
It is a newer movie, too. This was made this year, last year, excuse me, 2018. Yeah, and no spoilers this time around. Jared, did you enjoy... Let's just say, did you enjoy the movie?
For the most part.
For the most part.
Yes, I love the premise.
Jared, you're a fucking tramp.
Okay. I liked the actress and the actors in this. Let me pull her up, because she's from Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Madeline Brewer she plays a crazy lady in Handmaid's Tale, and she is almost unrecognizable in this role, where she's acting more normal. It's like, she's a very good character actor, from what I can see. I mean, I want to see more.
See, I haven't seen Handmaid's Tale, so I can't really compare it to anything.
I was watching this with my girlfriend, and we did get a little bored during maybe the later part, where we're kind of like, we're ready for this to wrap up. But other than that, I thought everything was pretty well done.
Okay, man. You and
How did you feel about it?
Jared, this is one of the best movies I've seen in a long time.
Okay.
It blew my fucking mind. It kept me on the edge of my seat.
Oh, yes.
Literally,
yes.
The entire movie. Like, I don't know what you're talking about where you're like, okay, I want it to wrap up. I mean, maybe the sexually explicit stuff, but Jesus, man. Like, this was surprisingly good. Like, it blew my mind how, for one, I thought it was going to be a stupid, shitty, you know, B-movie, and it just destroyed my expectations of it. And it's like, hey, guess what? You are not going to stop enjoying yourself.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy this movie.
Okay.
But from me feeling that way, it kind of hurt the film a little bit. I still think this is a solid movie.
The movie on the whole, it was gorgeous. It hit everything it needed to hit. Like, the music and the sound was just beautiful. It reminded me of Twin Peaks a lot, the music from Twin Peaks. It was basically like, just, you know, all those newer films that kind of have the weird blue, purple, and red, pink lighting. Like, there's a lot of that in here too, and the cinematography is just excellent.
Like the 80s throwbacks?
Yeah, the 80s throwbacks, but it's not really, this is not really an 80s throwback. It was
I didn't get that vibe.
But I'm saying, it's just, the lighting was definitely, you know, symptomatic of things like the Neon Demon.
Yes. Oh God, the Neon Demon.
Or what's that one with Ryan Gosling? Only God Forgives.
Every movie with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, but the one, the only God Forgives one.
You know, I get Ryan Gosling and Jake Gyllenhaal, they like interchange in my brain.
See, number one, you can't confuse white guys, because white guys are all very unique and individual. That was terrible. Number two, you must not have a crush on one of them, because if you had a crush on one of them, you'd be able to tell them apart, you know what I mean?
Well, I want them to run a train on me, both of them, but that's a different podcast.
Is it, though?
Yeah, you're probably right. No, I think they're both great. They're wonderful, but I don't know why I get them confused. Anyways,
can you describe for me running a train?
So running a train is when me and my friends go into my dad's basement where he keeps his conductor train set, and we play with it while he's not around. That's called running a train. Is there some other definition I don't know about?
Well, that's what I was hoping you would help me out with. But that's what I thought whenever I first heard her running a train. Literally that definition. So as long as that's what it is in my head, then I think that we're fine.
Absolutely. I will agree. I liked the way this movie was set up. It really disturbed me with just the setting and like...
That is a good word to use. Like, this film is incredibly disturbing just existing. Like, before the disturbing stuff, before like the actually creepy, nasty shit that you don't want to watch stuff happens, just the overall tone and feeling that this movie gives you just from the way it looks, like you're describing, is extremely disturbing. I do like that word.
Oh, yeah. The scariest part really is the creepers and weirdos that the main character has to deal with. It's not even like the crazy threat that we'll get into later. Like, those scenes are the most intense for me. But anyways, setting-wise, her room, it has like these thick curtains that are all around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just having that in this big room with the curtains that are just everywhere. She has like no walls. It's just these curtains. Just that gives a weird sense of like isolation for me, to where I was so afraid that at any moment somebody was just going to jump out of that fucking curtain and kill her. Because when I was watching this movie, I didn't know what this film was going to be about. I went in pretty blind.
Well, see, I read the Netflix description, But the Netflix description is a good description in that it doesn't really give too much away, I guess.
The way they show sex workers and how people treat them is probably the biggest point of the film, I would think, because they're not treated well in this movie. You got the creepy stalkers.
Right.
You got the other women that treat each other terribly because they're all trying to be the best. You got the police officers who take anything they say seriously. You know, it's like family members and friends frown upon it. They get fucking whore written on their house or whatever. But yet everybody watches and uses this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But we all hate it and shun it because we're like, oh, it's terrible. So like the same little boys that of the sister's brother, those same kids who are like watching the videos and loving it are later on going and putting the fucking graffiti on the wall saying that she's a whore or whatever.
So
because not a lot of films talk about this stuff.
One of the things that you brought up and I kind of brought up in my synopsis, my little elevator pitch that I want to make a little bit more clear is the whole first act of this movie is her trying to. Oh, wait.
Let's get into it. Let's do spoilers.
Okay, so should we watch this movie? Absolutely. You should go watch this movie right now.
Yeah, go watch this fucking movie. Get out your bitcoins and tip big. All right, guys.
Bitcoins.
Get those emojis ready.
Oh, shit. Get
that floppy dick emoji ready, all right?
Floppy dip gif emoji. Okay.
Gif emoji?
Gif emoji. Here we go. This is one thing that... All right, so the first act of the film is she is trying to get into the top 50 girls on this campsite.
Yes.
Because as she's watched and as she is tipped, she goes up in rank. And like, it's kind of this weird narcissistic thing that she's obsessed almost with trying to get to be in the number one spot. She wants to continue advancing up the pole.
Oh.
That was a weird way of saying that.
Up the pole, you say? Don't you mean down the pole?
She wants to continue advancing up in the ranks of this website so she can get more hits, she can get a lot of money. And then we kind of already established that she already has a lot of money, right? Because, like, we see her buy something for, like, $5,000.
She buys a, like, $5,000 couch without even thinking about it. She's like, done, whatever. But yet she lives in, like, a shitty apartment. I don't know what it is. And, like, her room looks terrible.
Well, because everything in her life...
I guess she's a young kid.
Well, yeah, but everything in her life does not matter. The only thing that matters is this job to her. So that's why that room is in pristine condition. Condition?
What condition my condition was in.
You know what? We'll just take it. You know what I'm talking about.
Whoa. No, that's a really good point, Dan. I didn't mean to step on it. I mean, I did step on it, but I'm gonna take my foot off of it and scrape off the rest of that idea. She keeps her cam room way better than her actual room, which looks like fucking trash. And that makes a lot of sense because she's so obsessed with becoming number one that she'll watch other cam girls while she's doing her own show. Mm-hmm. Like she's so jealous of them. And it's not even for the first part of the film. It's for the entire movie. This permeates till the very end of the film.
Right.
Of some of the last things that she does.
But what I'm saying is the first act is just her, like the whole conflict is like, we need to get to number one.
But that almost never changes, really.
Yeah.
Because once the doppelganger shows up, she's like, I need to get rid of this person so I can be number one. Or she's jealous of this doppelganger who is rising in the ranks. Because she's not getting the accolades, it's someone else. So let's talk about this weird doppelganger guy. Thing.
Okay, so Thing. We're going to stress that it's a thing. Here's the deal. This hurt the movie for me.
Really?
I like the way they handled it towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not like the fact that it's a strange computer algorithm that essentially takes her skin and wraps it around ones and zeros.
I didn't think it was a computer algorithm. I thought it was supernatural.
Or supernatural. Like, I would say that is supernatural.
Okay.
Like a computer coming to life. And normally I do like things like that, like computers coming to life and just fucking everything up, but I just didn't think that it fit the tone that was established in the movie until the final confrontation.
Yeah, which is fucking intense. Well, here's why I liked it. Because most people already dehumanize sex workers anyways. Mm-hmm. But how do you take that a step further to where they're basically not even humans anymore? And the guy, this guy Tinker Boy or something, he's like the obsessed stalker fan of the main character. He's always like following around. He even like tried to move to where she lived.
And he works in IT too, so he's like kind of in on it. Not in on it as in he's responsible, but he said, I can normally tell when it's going to happen.
Yes. So we find out later that he knows about the weird doppelganger takeover. But he doesn't really care because he has the actual human being in his apartment. And he's like, I'm going to help you figure this doppelganger thing out. We're going to stop this person. And then he pretends to take a shower and he's jacking off in the shower to the fucking doppelganger.
One of the most grotesque and horrifying scenes in the movie. Like how they got something to be gross, but also just mortifyingly scary was beyond me.
Well, that's this whole movie.
Because it's like, the way they set it up, it's like, you know, it's like a horror movie where somebody's rocking back and forth in the chair and they finally like turn it around and it's a skeleton. It was that moment in the film, but it was just dude jerking off.
But that skeleton's jacking his big old bone off. And you're like, oh man,
it was
Christ.
Horrifying.
At least tip me or give me some like bone emojis or something. What's your fucking deal, bruh?
And he gets tased though, so don't forget.
Yeah, he does.
Don't forget he gets tased, so we're okay.
And don't get me started in that other fucking. There's like a big roller, high roller guy in the cam community. Who's that bald guy?
Oh, Barney.
Barney, yes. He loves you. He loves everyone.
I love you, and I love you, and I love you, but not my wife.
And I love the scene where she is setting up a play date with him, which is that's such a bad idea. If cam girls really do this in real life, like meet up with their fans, that is a stupid idea. That's crazy.
You want a free tip? Like I'll give you 1,000 tokens not to do that.
Wow, rough. That's rough. Anyways, she sets up a fucking play date with this guy, and while they're Skyping or whatever, somebody starts to walk into the room that the Barney is in, and he quickly closes it. I'm like, well, that's his fucking wife.
Yeah.
For sure. But that, of course, that guy turns out to be like a raper, and which leads to one of the scariest scenes of the film, which isn't even with the main character and the doppelganger. It's between her and Barney when he's trying to get into the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Now, I want to like say this too, because she puts so much time and effort into her fan base and getting to know them. And that's like one of her tenets that she likes to follow. Like she has three rules she never breaks.
We need to get into these rules, by the way.
Okay. So really quickly, say the rules. Do you have them?
I don't have them all, but one of them is no fake orgasms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that gets her into trouble later, where she has there's like this giant vibrating thing that all the girls are saying like that really hurts you and it's terrible. And I'm like, I don't get why she has a moral code like this in the type of job that she does. But maybe that's kind of the point that I'm missing of the film, is that we don't treat sex workers with the respect that we could give them, or more respect, I guess.
Right.
Because it's a profession like everything else, and it's there's definitely a need for it. But like, why wouldn't she just fake it? I don't. If I was doing it, I would be faking shit all the time. I mean, you're there to make money. You're not there to like. I don't. You know what I mean? Like, what is she doing?
Right. And then okay, so she has these standards essentially, and she wants to take care of her patrons. But whenever she meets up with them, it's like she's trying to depend on them because she has built up some form of trust in the form of tipping.
Yes.
But in the end, all they really want to do is sleep with her. So like we talked about the issue with Tinker and then this weird rapey scene in the woman's bathroom. It's like she is genuinely trying to get some form of help from these people and she can't depend on them even though she's trying to in the moment. And that's that in and of itself is a really dirty, grungy, horrifying thing. This film doesn't let you stop feeling dirty. Like you feel dirty throughout the entire film.
We got scenes like in the beginning when she is doing a show and people are tipping, and then she starts to threaten that she's gonna kill herself.
Yeah, like, because...
And then everyone goes fucking ape shit, and I'm like, now it's a fucking snuff film?
Yeah.
Is the movie trying to say that's the logical step of where this needs to go? Or is that just supposed to, like, the horror element to make it scary?
No, that's the logical step. Like, what can I do to, you know...
Become number one. Do I have to kill myself for you?
Yeah, exactly. And there are degenerates, you know, on the internet who are into things like that, that would definitely tip for shit like that. And the whole, that whole sequence, I'm like, okay, this can't be real. But, like, the way they did it, it's like, it was such an elaborate scheme.
Yeah.
That it was amazing how she put that much thought into it. You know what I mean? So, like, it going back to what you said about, we should start to think about sex workers as, you know, intelligent human beings who work for their money, essentially.
Well, you got
to
think of it as, it's a profession.
Yeah.
So it's, and it's,
and you want to be good at your job.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
You know?
So if I have a big note here that I want to talk about a little bit.
Sure. Let's see your big throbbing note.
First of all, there's like a weird familial relationship between everybody. Her mom owns a salon and she always goes and gets, you know, done up at the mom's salon.
Yeah.
And brother is just kind of there.
Oh, the sister-brother relationship was creepy.
Yeah, and at one point, the mom asked the brother what lipstick would look good on his sister. And I'm like, this is...
Yeah.
But that all pays off in the end. Because, hands down, Cam has one of the best birthday sequences I have ever seen in a movie, period.
That was pretty good. Tell us about it.
By birthday sequences, I mean... The most, it reminded me of that one scene in Hereditary where the mom's yelling at the son.
Yes.
Because it was just like a big anxiety filled clusterfuck of emotion. Because so essentially the brother is having a 17th birthday and all of his friends are in a room getting high and watching her on cam. But at this point, it's not her. It's the doppelganger. And she walks in with a cake and they all laugh at her. And then it keeps ramping up because, like, she goes away from them, starts talking to her mom and her mom's friend. And then they're like, so what do you do for a living? And she's like, oh, I'm in web design. And she's trying to dodge the question. And then something happens to where one of the kids from outside runs into the room with the brother chasing him.
Yeah. He's like trying to beat him up.
He's trying to beat him up because he shows the brother, the sister doing stuff. And
because the sister's jacking off in a library, god damn it.
So she takes she takes the phone and then mom tries to take the phone too. So mom figures it out and it's all in the middle of the brother's birthday, his 17th birthday. And it, like, it's a big get together and everybody finds out at once that she's this cam girl. And she's not even in control of it at this point anymore. Like, she has no way to make it stop.
What makes this scene so amazing
Beautiful. Is,
so do you remember earlier on, she invites some girl from her high school that she used to know to come to the party just awkwardly because they meet up at like a grocery store. And that's supposed to show the contrast of like, well, if she wasn't doing this cam show stuff, she could be stuck working as a stock girl at a grocery store. And she doesn't want that. She wants a better life. She wants to make that money. But the look on her grocery store friend's face when they find out what she does is she's just, it's like a shame and almost like a smirk of like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And then the icing on the cake. Yeah, so you're just in this nasty, cringe state. And then the mom goes to the birthday cake and picks it up and starts singing happy birthday. And then everybody releases the cringe and joins in just trying to forget it. It is the most beautiful moment in the film where you just... Like, not like, it's not the most aesthetically beautiful moment, but if I'm thinking aesthetically as, like, phenomenology, like, the way my emotions felt in that, like, that release. I was so dirty, and then I just felt some kind of release in the lamest song in the world.
Well, I think it's the whole point of the film, really.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. It's, like, it's supposed to make you feel nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's the contrast of, like... This thing, everybody watches porn. Basically everyone.
Yeah, I wrote it down like 3 times. I said, this movie makes me feel gross. 3 times.
I have not met a single person in my life that hasn't. I'm sure there's somebody out there who doesn't, I guess.
What?
But it's few and far between.
Just what? I missed it.
It's something a lot of people use. Almost all of us.
Oh, the
And the stigma behind it. What's that?
What I missed what you were talking about.
Oh, just porn in general. So like porn and all this other stuff.
Oh.
What else could I be talking about?
I don't know. The internet.
Dan, almost everyone uses shoehorns. And listen, I know this is going to be controversial, but I like to put them on my dick.
What can I put my penis into today?
Anything.
All right. Ice cubes.
Okay, Dan, we don't have to play this game, but you could play it maybe at home.
Okay.
In your own head, quietly. anything on. You can think of, you can put your dick into it. All right.
Okay.
Anything you can think of, someone has put their dick into. That is the real game.
See, I was walking down the street at night in downtown Atlanta not too long ago, and there was this Hotlanta. There was this telephone pole that was just riddled.
That was begging for it.
Well, hold on. Let me tell you how it was begging for it. It was one of those telephone poles that people like staple shit into. But it's been there forever, so there's like thousands of rusty staples just covering the surface of this wooden pole. That was calling my name.
I actually kind of like weird stuff like that.
I took a picture of it. I'm like, what the fuck? This is
crazy. Aesthetically pleasing to see that. And I also enjoy graffiti on trains. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
some of
that
shit's really creative.
And I like bathroom graffiti a lot.
Yeah, me too. We're probably bad people. Anyway, I don't know what it is. I don't like, I mean, there's always bad graffiti where someone just writes their name or something shitty. But then when you see like people take the time to like actually make something cool, like I saw a Battletoads.
Oh, wow.
Really awesome graffiti mural on a train while it was going by. And I was like, that's fucking rad. Anyways, I digress.
Battletoads out of everything.
What a weird reference to have on a fucking train. Yeah.
To take your time.
Who are these,
well.
Cool fucking kids doing Battletoads graffiti? Anyways. Oh, well,
do you feel gross yet?
I feel like we're getting close to that end. Oh, do we want to talk about the ending actually, Dan?
Yeah. So basically probably the coolest in the movie, she finds out how she's going to destroy this, which probably could have taken, I don't know, a little bit of time to explain how she figured out that this might work. But I'm not gonna complain.
I was so lost when she was trying to defeat the final boss. I was like, I don't know what she's doing right now.
Right. So she sets it up so where she's looking into the camera, but the camera is pointing at her, and behind her is her chat feed or the video feed. So she makes a deal with the devil, essentially saying like, do a private chat with me and then we'll see who's the better Mr. Teapot or Lola, essentially. And it's the most amazing looking thing ever, because it's just camera zooming into camera, zooming into camera, zooming into camera. Essentially, if you've ever seen, like, if you ever turned a camera on a mirror, this is essentially what you're getting. And whenever you see two Lolas and they go on into infinity, you're like, this is fucking crazy. And it's wonderful. But how she defeats the beast is
the beast.
Wow.
That's an old reference. Anyways,
we should do that film again. How she defeats this boss lady is she makes herself look different, so the algorithm of the computer has to catch up to her. And the way that she makes herself look different is smashes her head onto the table in front of her as hard as she fucking can, so she breaks her nose.
Yes.
Jared, were you expecting this at all?
No.
Did you enjoy looking at this? Because it was very hard to watch.
I didn't. I enjoyed the scene.
I enjoyed the
scene
tremendously. But like, whenever her nose, because she does it two times, and whenever her nose is like kind of sliding off her face, I'm like, oh my god, this is so gross.
Jesus.
But see, this is like that torture porn stuff done right. Like, it's not the whole film, and it was just in a shocking area, and it was palatable. But
well, it's violence with a reason. It's the same thing with like having a sex scene in your movie for a reason, and not just having it because.
And in this. I will say that the sex in this movie, there's like it's few and far between, but like it's a lot of nudity, a lot of like, you know, girl on girl. All of that was completely necessary for this movie because it gives you that underbelly of like the internet feel. You know what I mean? And the more you're exposed to that, the dirtier and nastier you feel. Yeah. You're like, oh, I shouldn't be watching this.
And we should say at this point, she's tried customer service to try to get her account back online. Yes. She's been locked out of her account. She can't get back in. She's tried to call the cops on this doppelganger, which didn't work. The cops, like, basically sexually harassed her and told her this is a waste of their time and then left. They're like, if you don't like this, stay off the internet, which is like the most dad thing to say, like somebody who doesn't understand the internet.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Just get out of the tubes. Just close that internet door. And don't look back. She's tried all these things. I think the most depressing thing is when she tries to get her other cam girls to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And they all see it and they're like, oh yeah, that's fucking weird. I thought they were all going to get together.
No.
It was going to be like a Scooby-Doo thing where they like fight this thing.
Because they're all too narcissistic. They all want to be number one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that must suck for you.
It also doesn't paint the cam girls in a very good light on a lot of different respects.
Right.
Because you kind of have to be a little narcissistic to even do something like this.
Yeah.
Really, right? I don't know.
You have to be in love with your body.
It's fascinating, the questions that are raised in this movie. Can I say that well enough? They do. It's just an excellent all around. So then we have the weird AI or whatever is the supernatural thing. It doesn't even recognize her.
Yeah.
As herself. It's just copying. So then when she smashes her face, and then it's they're doing a game basically where it's like whoever the audience likes more, and the audience of course liked her smashing her nose. The AI's like, well, what do you want? Because you won. She's like, give me your username and password. She's like, okay. It's like, it's really good that the AI is dumb as hell.
Yeah.
So she eventually deletes the account. But the craziest thing is that after her nose is broken, and it's all messed up, and you think, and this is all done on purpose, which I love, that like, oh, now that she's ugly, I guess, or her nose is all messed up, that she's gonna stop doing the cam stuff and then, you know, really go and like get a real job or whatever, get a real job. But she doesn't do that at all. She goes right back into it, which I understand why she does it. I get that. But wouldn't she be afraid of this scary AI monster? Like,
well,
that's
the only
thing where I'm just like, what the fuck?
That was addressed by the mom. She's like, what if this happens again? She's like, then I'll get rid of it again. It's like, whoa, you got some cojones, girl.
That's crazy.
Jesus.
And it's also established that this AI thing has taken over a lot of the other women in the cam game. Like, the number one girl is the AI bot of a girl who died 6 months ago, which is fucking amazing. I love that. And then the AI bot would do cam shows with fake main character and the number one girl in her house, which was crazy because she's really not there.
That's the whole thing where it's like, if we want to explore that more, I am more interested in that being the crux of the film, whereas it was kind of separated in two acts where like the doppelganger didn't come till the second act, and like that's why tonally the film's narrative, like, it worked, but at the same time it felt like it was two different movies, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I thought the tone was pretty consistent.
Well,
there was a real separation between
maybe tonally the two. Tonally was not really the word I'm looking for, but to me the AI bot is interesting enough to have its own movie.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And I want to see more of that. Like, I want to see Cam 2 where we just track down this fucking bot.
How did you feel about them not explaining the monster or whatever?
I thought it was good, essentially.
I was fine with it. I was like, I mean, I'd like to know a little bit more.
Yeah, it made me want to know more, and it made me want to see another movie with that specifically.
Anyways, let's get into final thoughts. Let's do that.
Okay, so I gave the narrative, the story, a 7, because it could have been a 6, but the way they handled the bot at the end where she has to smash her face in, it was pretty nice.
Well, we don't need to go through all the different categories. You can just give your score.
My fucking score, bro?
Yeah.
A 9.2. The only thing that brought it down was the narrative, but everything else was super high. The cinematography was beautiful. The sound was amazing.
Dude, those tips are coming in.
The act, the tips. I love the tip.
Dude, you're getting dick emojis. You're getting tit
the way
emojis.
The way the movie looks and like the way, like even the birthday party, like the house where the birthday party, where the mom's house, it just looks gloomy as fuck. Like, there's not a time in this movie where you don't feel depressed about how it looks, and that's so wonderful.
Yeah, oh yeah, they do a great job. Dan, for that score, I think we're going to have to give you a vagina with sunglasses emoji, all right?
Awesome.
You did it. You did it, bud. I'm going to give this movie, after I've calculated the results, an 8 out of 10.
So that gives us a grand total score of the Indie Film Review gives Cam, a 2018 Netflix film, the score of an 8.6.
Woo! Damn, dude. It's fucking high.
That is fucking high. This film
blew my fucking surprised mind. That I gave this movie such a high ranking. Honestly, you know why? It's because I kept thinking of reasons to give it a lower score, and I couldn't.
Exactly. Like, I was trying to nitpick, and the only thing I could think of was just the story. It just started to not make sense, but it fixed it. It had a last-minute fix at the end, and it was really great. Like I said, it's the best film I've seen in a long time. It gave me a fucking high. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I was happy. Like, yeah. I had a shitty day yesterday, and I watched that film, and I'm like, I'm fucking...
I was genuinely terrified for certain scenes, and like on the edge of my seat, it was like, what the fuck is going to happen? And like I said, only in like one part where I was kind of like, all right, let's get to the next thing. And that was like it was like right before the very end where they were teasing it. I'm like, I think I'm ready for the end now. And then they had the end, and the end was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, good stuff. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this show. Please find us. Where you're going to find us, and where you're going to find us, I'm going to tell you about right now. You can find us at Facebook on Indie Film Review, I believe. We're on Twitter at Indie Film Pod, and you can email us any questions, or if you want to email us suggestions for movies, or maybe a movie you've made that you want us to consider for review, at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. That's theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. And we are also hosted on Podbean at indiefilmreview.podbean.com. And if you want to send us some like floppy dick emoji, or like two dicks in like business suits that are like going on a business trip together emoji.
We are also on Instagram as IndieFilmReviewPod or at IndieFilmReviewPod.
Yes.
I get hit up there quite a bit.
Cool.
Also, our website should be up by the time this comes out, but I don't have the website yet.
Yeah, we're working on it. Relax. Jesus.
I will have that for us soon.
That sounds real good. Okay, Dan, why don't you give us your final word?
Are you ready for Spanx? One, two, three,
oh,
four.